We talked about newer experiences. I want you to go think back. Think about those experiences of your first job or first jobs. Do you remember what it was like? You're going in and you're going into that group and you're trying to remember, remember what it was like when you're like, how am I supposed to use my hands? What comes next? What's that thing called? How does that work? I can remember my first job was terrible. It was a landscaping job. I did end up getting fired, don't worry. And the very first introduction was being dropped off at this house, and we were to dig a trench with a pick. I was prepared with this I had my work boots and I had a peanut butter sandwich on a warm, hot summer day, and I was to dig a 3-foot deep trench all the way around the house with, I don't know, a foot wide, and about like 2% of the job in, they're like, yeah, this is where the last guy quit. And we want this done by the end of the day. And I was just like, oh, and I was just like, I went for it. And I remember about midday, I had my peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and my mouth was all sticky. Like, I was dying. I didn't bring any water. First job, right? I go knock on a door in the neighborhood, ask for someone to take pity. They give me a 4-liter milk jug, fill it with water, and I'm drinking that in the day. Like, the faucet didn't even work on the house. It was just it was brutal. But I got that trench dug. And then I had blisters on every finger for weeks. And I remember this pinky would, I'd have to go like this and then it would just pop. But the next week, I got dropped off at another house and he said, grub out the lawn. Or like, he's just, and I said, grub it? Like, what do you mean? And he like beat the ground twice, grub it. And then he left. I was just like, what is grubbing? I think he wants me to take out the lawn. Like, I'm starting to like take it out. And then he's just like, and he did want that, but I was very unsure, right? So he comes back an hour and a half and just tears a strip off me and says, what are you kind of lazy? And just like, you're done if this isn't done by noon. I got it done by noon, but I think I got fired the next week. And it was just like, oh, that one hurt for quite a while. And then contrast that experience to, I remember leading a seminar on discipling the next generation at a BC conference as a pastor. And this is something that where I had mentors, I'd gone to school, I'd been practicing this for 10 years, and senior leaders were asking me all kinds of questions. They were engaged. This was a much more difficult task, but I felt up for it versus grubbing out the lawn, which I really was struggling with. The difference was equipping. Equipping makes all the difference in the world. Are you equipped for the task at hand? And there's a process of being equipped. And just like a job, same is true in a life of faith. God can give us the equipping needed to get to know him, but also to live out our purpose. So we're going to be looking at a passage that is kind of, I always come back to it. It is the central equipping passage in my mind. Ephesians 4, verses 7 to 16. We're going to be reading from this. We're in week 2 of our vision series. We got a new vision as a church, and we're thinking about what does this mean? We're thinking about it as in our staff meetings, as elders, I think as a church, we're going, what does this mean for our new vision? And it's going to be unfolding. And part of it is thinking through these three core pieces. Follow, equip, share. Follow, equip, share. Hey, it's right behind me. It's on your bulletin. It's going to be on the walls. Follow, equip, share. So let's turn to God's word to learn about equipping for our lives. What's our purpose? What are we to be equipped for? Reading chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. I'm reading from the ESV version. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. So, equipping. I'm going to tell you, I was studying that passage all week, and I've looked at that passage multiple times, and it sure helped, because there's a lot in there, more than we could possibly cover in this section. But we're going to go for the heart. We're maybe not explain everything in that passage. But the heart of it is this, that we are equipped to build each other up. That's the heart of it. Look at verse 12. We are equipped to build each other up. This is what we're about. We're going to talk about what it means. But if you think about it, God, okay, a couple terms, expressions, if you're unfamiliar with some of the language that was in there, the body is an illustration of Christ and the church. Christ is the head, and the church is the body of Christ. That it's this sense of oneness, and that each one of us is a part of the body who's received Christ into their life, and he empowers us with his spirit. So that's one of the key parts going on. We're equipped for the purpose. We have purpose. We're given purpose, and it's to build each other up. So let's think about this piece in relation to our vision. So we're saying, of all the things, we're keeping three things central. And this morning, we're talking about the second one, equipping. We have this vision to be equipping each other. Let's look at the broader vision statement. Let's go to the next slide. So I'm going to read this very second sentence here. We disciple and equip each other for ministry using the Bible as our foundation. To be equipping each other, to build each other up. And this is what we're doing. We're using the Bible as our foundation. A foundation that we can stand on in life. So how are we equipped? There's several pieces of how we are equipped in this passage. So firstly, we are equipped by Christ. By Christ himself, we are equipped. Look at verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, what's helpful is also knowing other parts of the scripture in engaging with this. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 and 7, it says, now these are the variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each of us is given gifts. So this was originally written in Greek. So grace is charis. You've heard of charis. That's the Greek word for grace. Well, charismata is gifts. And sometimes they're used interchangeably. But the whole sense of it, you get a further sense of it in 1 Corinthians, is that each person who receives Christ as Savior and Lord, God, his Spirit comes into us. God is not just way out there. He's now in us as well. And he gifts every single part. Every single one of us gets a spiritual gift. and we're to contribute to the body. And that body is to glorify Christ. So each one of us is gifted by Christ. This is how we're equipped. And you also get a sense of the giftings in verse 11 with the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And that really leads into the second component of how are we equipped. We are equipped as the body of Christ, the church, through the giving of leaders and teachers to the church that we might be able to learn. We talked about this in the job context. We need to be equipped to do well. And so there's these different giftings that are highlighted through the persons of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. And this is a gifting given the church. So as we talk about equip, part of our purpose is to equip each other. Well, who is each other? What does that mean? Well, actually, if you look at the gifts given, evangelists are given. I don't know if you say, I have the gift of evangelism. Well, that's pointed outside of the body. So we are equipped for not just the church, but for the world. And you see this in this gifting of evangelism. Apostleship is the sending out, this multiplying of churches. This gift of pastor teacher, this is something we're much more familiar with. And in this passage, the word the definite article, kind of groups these two together. Pastor teachers, often, you might say, well, this person's a little bit more pastor than teacher, but they often go together, especially in the context of church. We're familiar with that. So we are equipped by Christ, by leaders and teachers, and how else are we equipped? Thirdly, by everyone doing their part. Verse 16. It says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When you're on a sports team, you need everybody to be doing their part in practice, in games. You're only as strong as your weakest link, right? Everybody needs to be doing their part. And this is the amazing thing, is that here's the gospel, is that we are so incredibly valuable to the Lord of the universe, the one who has ascended on high, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He descended for us to draw us to himself. We are so valuable that he includes us in the perfect community of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he draws us to himself and he says, every part is valuable. Each one of us are invited in to come and contribute. Now, we may not always feel like we know what we're doing. Church may be a place you've been for years, and you may not really go, I don't really know what I'm doing, or all the language, or maybe something new. But this is the invitation to come and be equipped. And this is our vision, to be an equipping church. Let's move on to the next question. How are we equipped? How do we build each other up? How do we build each other up? Well, if we're all given spiritual gifts, the first part is learning what our spiritual gifts are. You can click on that. By getting to know your gifts. There is a sheet in the hallway for life groups. In our life groups, as we sit in circles through the week, as we break off into our groups, we process what's been said in the message, and there's questions out there, and part of it is processing the scriptures that talk about spiritual gifts. So those are printed out, and there's extras, so if that's something you want to look more into, go grab the sheet in front of the life group board and process it with your life group this week as well. We're each given gifts. How do we build each other up? Well, first we've got to get to know who we are and how we're made. What are our strengths? Let's go to the next point. By using your gifts, how do we build each other up? By using our gifts. There's that picture of a person who loves school and who's like, it just seems like they're in school over and over again. What's the point of school? The point of school is to like kind of learn things and contribute beyond school. It's not to just always be learning. It's to put the gifts that you've gained, the knowledge that you've gained, to use, right? So verse 11, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. We're equipped for a purpose, to use our spiritual gifts. You think of if you think of winter here, what happens if you leave your tools outside in winter? How useful are they? Not very useful. Maybe, and what happens often is maybe if you don't really know what the tool's for, then you're going to be more inclined to leave it out for winter because you really don't know how to use it. It's not very important anyways. So think about bringing that tool out from winter inside. You've got a covering to use it. Now you're able to use it, but you actually have to use it. It's kind of a picture of what it'd be like to come into the church. Part of it is discovering, to come under the church is to learn how to, what your spiritual gifts are and how to use them. And part of the role of pastor teachers, of leaders, is to empower you in a way where you can learn. What are the spiritual gifts? What are the talents God has given me? The God-given talents, but what are the giftings? Is it a gifting of faith? Is it a gifting I'm made to serve and help? Is it a gifting of wisdom, of administration? There's several lists in the scriptures of different spiritual gifts. They're all illustrative. None of them are, no section includes all of the gifts. And you can tell that because there are different gifts listed in different passages. There's no one expression of, here's all of the spiritual gifts. So as we unfold this vision, part of where we're going to go is we are going to be making those tools available to the church. Part of that is by talking right now and processing it. Part of it is processing it in life groups, but part of it is also going to be giving a questionnaire, making it available to understand, and then meeting with someone to process, and then seeing how you can use them. Now, the other component of learning how to do stuff is by getting out there and doing it and going, this is who I am. You can't tell if you're great with teaching kids about the Bible until you actually do it, right? And that's what so many of us whose seats were full before the kids went out have gone down and are serving, and they are equipping our kids right now as we speak. They're using their gifts. Amen. Yeah, that's right. That is, if you know someone in Sunday school who's a teacher, or you see somebody after, thank them. Make sure you thank them today, tomorrow. They're blessing us and blessing our kids. Same goes with our youth leaders, which was very present of this investment in our youth. Let's look at the last point here. How do we build each other up? By speaking the truth in love. Verse 15 from Ephesians. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head. This concept, this practice, is absolutely transformational. If this happens in your home, in your extended family, in your workplace, in your church, in your friendships, it will transform this group. It will. It can't not. But it's truth and love. It's not truth. Hey, by the way, gotcha. You suck. Boom. You're terrible at this. Boom. That's not very loving. Or it's just like, hey, don't worry that you just ran that person over. You're a good driver. You're great. That's a bunch of love, but it's not true love, right? Because there's no truth to it, right? It's doing two together. Are you a person who speaks the truth in love? Do you have a tendency? I think we all have a tendency. The aim is truth and love together in partnership. Do you end up a little bit more like, I tend to show the kindness and I'm a little bit more wary of sharing truth? Or is it, hey, I'll tell you the truth, but it may not always be loving? It's good to know which part of the paradigm you end up on, because then it helps kind of bring you back to where to find the true center of that. Within the past 2 years, so fairly recently, a mentor of mine said something like, Dave, do you ever notice that it's got to be your way? Oh, that hurt. I didn't really even feel like it was, he was referring to it in a certain situation. I didn't really feel like it was fair for those circumstances. But this is someone who had loved me and listened to me and cared for me in so many different ways that I knew even if he wasn't fully right in this one situation, he definitely could put his mark on, like, oh, that's really humbling and embarrassing. Yeah, you might as well tell, you know, everybody, hey, that's great. But it identified a blind spot. And that was very loving. It was very loving. The truth was loving. And it helped me to grow that doesn't multiply because it has the potential to hurt so many different people in my life if it's got to be your way. That was the truth spoken in love. If we do this as a church, we will be equipping each other in powerful, dynamic ways. If you do this in your life groups, if you do this in your homes. But I'll tell you, it's extremely risky. It could go wrong. This is the challenge about speaking the truth in love. It's like, they may not receive it, and they may hold it against you. So then you have to examine. It's good to process this if this is a new skill. Think it through first before you go like, choo, choo, choo. You know, think it through. Going, hey, am I seeing this accurately? Maybe, maybe not. I take a double look at that to see if you're seeing it accurately. Second component is going, at times, if it could potentially harm the relationship. And that's why we don't speak the truth in love, right? We just want to be okay. But really, allowing someone to continue to not see their blind spot and to hurt others and to not grow isn't actually loving, is it? No. This is a powerful tool for equipping each other that we're encouraged to. And it's not just a relational truth. We're encouraged to speak the truth, the gospel truth, the gospel truth found here. You know those days when you're invited out to go do something and you just are cozy at home and you don't want to do it? Or how about even like beyond like hanging out with friends, when you're going to life group and you really don't feel like it, or you're going to youth group, or you're going to a board meeting, or whatever kind of meeting, a means of serving and equipping others and blessing as serving as part of the body, and you don't feel like it, that is a minor, small piece to what it would have been like for Christ to leave heaven, the perfect community on mission, to descend here because of the utter value of which God sees us, even in our broken rebellion to Him. He went on a mission to bring us back to Him, to die for us. I had to invent a new word, excruciating, to talk about the kind of pain of what it was like to die on the cross. This is what God went through for us. And then He ascended. It says He ascended, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, to fill the universe with His glory. If you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2, we're not talking about ego, where his ego is to fill the whole universe and to take it over and kill everything to to bask in his own glory. That's not God. To fill, as we talked about last week, to meet your Creator is to find yourself in a way where you've never known before, in a way to come alive the way we're intended to be. He's to fill the universe with his love, with his goodness. If you've had an experience with the living God, just even a short moment of a sense of his presence, you know it, how incredibly powerful his love is, how life-transforming it is. This is the extent he went to for us to equip the church, to equip humanity to know him. And our job is to do our small part, to find out how he's gifted us, to be trained in using our gifts, to apply them, and then to build each other up in this building, in the community, to use our gifts. This is our aim. And the amazing thing is, it's not all up to us. Think big, break it down more. If God is God and he's calling us to do this, he will equip you for what he's calling you to. But this is not an individual body part conversation. This is the body of Christ, the whole church conversation. It's the big picture. That means he will equip us, North Star, to live into this vision. We're still asking, what does this mean? Part of it is going, hey, what does it mean for me to be equipped? What are the ways he's gifted me? How do I learn and grow? And how do I apply it? That others may be built up. We're equipped to build each other up. Just think of what it's like for those of you who are parents or youth leaders or mentors, when you see your kid get it, or you see that aspect of maturity in a way that you haven't seen it before, that feeling of just, is there really anything like it? There's that joy, that building into a person. How incredible. This is our call to build each other up, to point people to who God is and all of the value in how we are made. Let's pray together. God, if we don't fully picture who you are, we don't get a full grasp, then we can never picture what it is to be equipped, what it is to be called to something grand and big. And this is where our eyes need to turn to you. How this is where speaking the truth in love to each other, we need to say, get our eyes off each other, church, and get them on you, God, and all of your grandness of who you are. God, grow our faith. Grow us in following you, living radically, becoming more like you, being equipped, using the gifts that we have, that we may build each other up, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for how you will be the one who started it. You'll be the one enabling us to be equipped. God, teach us what it means to be an equipping church, to equip each other, and to be standing on you, our relationship with you, and on your written word as our foundation. This we pray, Lord. Amen.